This is Charlie Bost reading the Herald and Review for Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. At the top of the first page, headline is Farmers Welcome New Ag Secretary. Senate voted to confirm Sonny Perdue as new head. This is written by Tony Reed of the Herald and Review and Mary Claire Jelinek of Associated Press. There's a picture. Agriculture Secretary-designate former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue arrives on Capitol Hill in Washington to testify at his confirmation hearing in March before the Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee. Findlay. Farmer Troy Uphoff was out planting corn Monday morning, enjoying both a sunny spring day and the prospect that Sonny Perdue would soon be confirmed by the U.S. Senate as the nation's agriculture secretary. I think farmers will be extremely pleased to see former Governor Sonny Perdue confirmed as secretary for the United States Department of Agriculture, said Uphoff, 42, who farms 1,000 acres of corn and soybeans near Findlay and also raises cattle. The Senate voted to confirm Perdue 87-11. The son of a farmer from Bonaire, Georgia, he will be the first Southerner in the post in more than two decades. He has owned several agricultural businesses, but isn't related to or affiliated with the food company Perdue or the poultry producer Perdue Farms. Uphoff cites Perdue's strong background in agribusiness and his training as a veterinarian in giving the nominee the opportunity to hit the ground running on behalf of farmers' interests. I think he brings a lot to the table for producers in the United States, and specifically for producers right here in central Illinois, said Uphoff, who serves as District 11 Director for the Illinois Farm Bureau, representing DeWitt, Piatt, Macon, Shelby, Moultrie, and Christian counties. As Agriculture Secretary, Mr. Perdue has pledged to be an advocate for open and international markets, which is very important right now to our farm income. Income projected to be about half of what it was just 4 years ago. Perdue is clearly going to have to have a fight on his hands as he battles to support agribusiness in the face of President Trump's disdain for international trade deals. Trump has also proposed slashing USDA programs, a move likely to bring him into open conflict with farmers. Bailey Edinburn, Shelby County Farm Bureau manager, said no one doubts the enormity of the task facing Perdue. He's got a huge job. The United States Department of Agriculture is a giant government entity and it covers a lot of ground, said Edinburn. She pointed out it runs the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, once called food stamps, and many other critical functions. Edinburn said, however, that Perdue is the right man for the job of negotiating with Trump to hammer out trade deals that won't stiff farmers and agribusiness. There are compromises to be made, and President Trump says he's a deal maker, so hopefully Mr. Perdue can make some deals, she added. But we're very excited about having an actual farmer to be head of the Agriculture Department, and we're looking forward to seeing what he can do in that job. Archer Daniels Midland Company was among dozens of companies and organizations that signed a letter of support sent to the Senate urging Perdue's confirmation and saying he has a proven record of effective governing and dedicated public service. There have been 30 secretaries of agriculture since the job was created in 1889, and though some were raised on a farm, only two actually lived and worked in agriculture as adults, the letter added. If confirmed, Sonny Perdue will be number three. At his confirmation hearing in March, Perdue assured nervous farm state senators that he will advocate for rural America, even as Trump has proposed deep cuts to some farm programs. He also promised to reach out to Democrats. Still, Perdue, 70, is getting a late start on the job. Trump nominated him just 2 days before his inauguration, and then the nomination was delayed for weeks as the administration prepared his ethics paperwork. Perdue eventually said he would step down from several companies bearing his name to avoid conflicts of interest. As Agriculture Secretary, he'll be in charge of about 100,000 employees and the nation's food and farm programs, including agricultural subsidies, conservation efforts, rural development programs, food safety and nutrition programs such as food stamps and federally subsidized school meals. Perdue will take office as farm prices have been down for several years in a row, and some parts of the industry, including cotton and dairy farmers, say they need the department and Congress to rewrite agricultural policy to help revive the business. Kansas Senator Pat Roberts, the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, said Perdue will help facilitate recovery in small American towns. I know he will put the needs of farmers, ranchers, and others in rural America first, Roberts said. Perdue's main task over the coming year will be working with Congress and coordinating his department's input on the next 5-year farm bill. Current farm policy expires next year, and lawmakers on the House and Senate Agriculture Committees will have to find a way to push it through Congress amid heightened partisan tensions and concerns over spending. At his hearing, he pledged to help senators sustain popular crop insurance programs and fix problems with government dairy programs. Perdue may also find himself in the uncomfortable position of defending agriculture in an administration that has so far given the issue limited attention, despite Trump's strong support in rural areas. Trump has proposed a 21% cut in USDA programs and has harshly criticized some international trade deals, saying they have killed American jobs. But farmers who produce more than they can sell in the United States have heavily profited from some of those deals and are hoping his anti-trade policies will include some exceptions for agriculture. At the hearing, Perdue said he would be a tenacious advocate and fighter for rural America when dealing with the White House and other agencies, and noted a growing middle class around the world that is hungry for U.S. products. Food is a noble thing to trade, Perdue said. Trump has also reached out to farmers on regulation, saying the government has too many rules that negatively affect farm country. That issue is expected to come up on Perdue's first day in office Tuesday when the president holds a roundtable discussion with farmers and sign an executive order to provide relief for rural America, according to the White House. The White House hasn't said when Perdue will be sworn in, but he is scheduled to speak to USDA staff Tuesday morning. There's a small box, Sonny Perdue, age 70, hometown Bonaire, Georgia, known for Republican governor of Georgia, 2003 to 2011. Degree, Doctorate of Veterinary Medicine, University of Georgia, 1971. Not that Perdue, not related to or affiliated with the food company Perdue or poultry producer Perdue Farms. The next front page headline is College Signing Day, Richland event, part of Michelle Obama's education push. There's a picture with the caption, prospective college students left to right, Joy Williams, Zach St. Clair, and Haley Lutz talk to SIU Edwardsville counselor Jennifer Harbaugh. The article is by Donette Beckett. of the Herald and Review. Decatur. Warrensburg Latham High School senior Megan Ullinger has already made plans for after graduation. "But I just want to see more options," said Ullinger, who wants to transfer to Southern Illinois University after completing an associate degree at Richland Community College. Ullinger and about 50 other area high school students attended college signing day on Monday afternoon at Richland Community College to learn about those other choices and celebrate the decisions they have already made. The event is part of the nationwide Better Make Room campaign introduced in 2015 by former First Lady Michelle Obama to encourage students to continue their education after high school. Event organizer Taylor Vidmar, a freshman at Richland, is among 17 students chosen in January to be part of the campaign's Student Advisory Board. The main goal is to celebrate local seniors who've committed to higher education, Vidmar said. Representatives from various colleges were available to answer all students' questions, including the University of Illinois at Springfield, Eastern Illinois University, Southern Illinois University, and University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. High schools with students attending the event include Warrensburg Latham, Central A&M, Cerro Gordo, and Eisenhower, each with about 7 students. "It's not a huge number, but I still think it's a good amount," Vidmar said of the initial local effort. College signing days are scheduled for other dates throughout the country. Vidmar said the goal of the Better Make Room is to help the United States become one of the leaders in higher education, which includes community colleges, military and technical training, and 4-year colleges. Before going on to page 2, I'll read a small box. College enrollment. In fall 2016, some 20.5 million students were expected to attend American colleges and universities, an increase of about 5.2 million since fall 2000. About 7.2 million students were projected to attend 2-year institutions, and 13.3 million at 4-year institutions in fall 2016. That from the Institute of Education Sciences. Another picture caption, Eastern Illinois University admission counselor Justin Tierney discusses opportunities at EIU with Demetris Lofton. Now continuing to page 2. "We have college signing days for athletes, and it's a big deal, but they wanted to do something like that for all students, so all students get that celebration," Vidmar said. "It's a big decision." Warrensburg Latham High School guidance counselor Shelley Billingsley brought 8 students on Monday. Although her students have already made plans, she felt the event would help answer any questions they might have. "I tell them they are not going to make a mistake as long as they are moving forward," she said. "You don't have to go to a 4-year college, but you have to have a plan. It is still scary, but you have a direction." As the end of the school year approaches, Billingsley has begun to see the excitement in her students about going to college. "I can see the relief in the faces. Now they have a direction," she said. Billingsley encouraged Cheyenne Wendell to attend the event with her classmates. Although she has registered for Southern Illinois University classes in the fall, the high school senior was ready to listen to other educators. "I'd kind of like to learn from people who already have their life figured out and see the steps they took," she said. "I want some good advice." The Better Make Room campaign is part of Michelle Obama's Reach Higher initiative, which aims to inspire every student in America to take charge of their future by continuing their education, according to the organization's website. State Senator Andy Menar, Democrat of Bunker Hill, was one of 3 presenters speaking to the students, along with WAND-TV reporter Megan Odell and Richland Community College professor Dr. Jarmiz Sharad. Vidmar chose the speakers, she said, because of their understanding of the value of higher education. Manar, who has been among the leaders in the General Assembly working on education funding reform, recounted his plans before graduating high school. He enrolled in a community college to get college credit, but had no goal to get involved in politics. I didn't know at the time how many doors would open with just one course, he said. It was hard to believe how many opportunities presented themselves to me because I enrolled in a class. He encouraged the students to strive for their aspirations, never give up. That's how you're going to be successful, he said. And one final picture with the caption, Sisters Nicole Left and Megan Wright Olinger listened to speakers during the College Signing Day event at Richland Community College. Now, the final article I'll read from the front page of the April 25th Herald Review is titled, European Company to Buy Acorn. It's written by Allison Petty and Tony Reed of the Herald and Review. Decatur, a German-based healthcare company, has agreed to buy Acorn Pharmaceuticals, with the deal expected to close by early 2018. Fresenius Kabi will acquire Acorn for $4.3 billion, plus the assumption of about $450 million of debt, the two companies said in a news release Monday. Boards for both companies have approved the agreement and a transaction, which will be recommended by Acorn's board to its shareholders. It was unclear what the move might mean for the two Acorn facilities in Decatur, which employ more than 200 people. Matt Kuhn, a spokesman for Fresenius Kabi, said the two companies would operate separately until the transaction closes. Following the close, we will work together to integrate the businesses in a way that minimizes disruption to customers and employees, he said. Also, after the close, we will go through a thorough integration process to determine the optimal organization to support the combined business. This being said, our commitment clearly is to further grow the combined business. A representative for Acorn could not be reached for comment Monday evening, but CEO Raj Rai praised the move in a joint news release. Fresenius Kabi is an excellent fit for Acorn strategically and culturally, he said. In the U.S., Fresenius Kabi sells sterile, injectable drugs that are used in hospitals and clinics, Kuhn said, as well as blood transfusion equipment, infusion pumps, and clinical nutrition products. Its products are sold to group purchasing organizations that represent hospitals. Acorn is a generic drug maker with products that include topical creams, ointments and gels, oral liquids, ear and eye solutions, nasal sprays, and respiratory drugs, in addition to sterile injectables. Kuhn described the business as complementary and said Acorn represents an opportunity for Fresenius Kabi to diversify its product offerings and delivery methods. We don't have many products that are prescribed directly for patients that end up in the retail pharmacy, he said. This agreement would allow us to access products that go through that channel, so to speak. Acorn recently celebrated a 30,000 square foot expansion to its existing packaging facility on Wycliffe Road. The $5.6 million project had helped retain 200 jobs and created 25 additional positions. Acorn had also broken ground on a $25 million expansion of its Grand Avenue facility in October, the expansion to include a new lab, among other additions. News of the Acorn acquisition comes hard on the heels of the March 23rd closure announcement of Meta Pharmaceuticals manufacturing facility in Decatur. Meta, or Meta, had been taken over by Pennsylvania-based Mylan in a $7 billion deal in 2016. The shutdown of the Decatur production plant and offices with the loss of 90 jobs was described by Mylan as the result of our integration process and being consistent with our ongoing efforts to operate our businesses as efficiently as possible. Such job losses are not unusual when one company is taken over by another, and Mylan had talked of wanting to reduce redundancy by eliminating unnecessary positions. It predicted cuts would hit less than 10% of its global workforce, which, standing at 35,000 people, added up to the loss of some 3,500 jobs. Hearing of the Meta MEDA loss, job losses in Decatur, Acorn had said at the time that it could have jobs for some of them and had already reached out to Meta Human Resources Department. "We hope we can keep these workers in Decatur," said Amy Spry, a talent acquisition partner for Acorn, in comments at the time. Now from page 3 of the Herald and Review of April 25th. Swing Station's alumni return to the stage. Graduates from 1970s to last year to perform in spring concert. It's written by Donette Beckett. Mount Zion. Kelly Richardson has been waiting for more than 30 years to return to the stage with fellow members of the popular Swing Sations show choir. Her wait is over. Richardson, a 1986 Mount Zion graduate, will be among about 75 Swing Sations alumni who plan to perform with the current students during the group's spring concert Friday and Saturday evenings in the Mount Zion High School auditorium. "I don't know how we're going to fit on the stage," Richardson said. Past members from last year's graduating class all the way to the late 1970s will travel from around the country to attend the event. All of the current Mount Zion show choir groups, including junior high groups, Les Femmes, and You've Got Mail, will be performing during the spring concert. Throughout the 2016-17 season, the show choir's director, Connie Mulligan, has been teaching the students numbers to older songs from past decades. "We've even tried to relearn the old choreography," she said. Mulligan said she understands how fortunate her school is to continue such a strong tradition with competitive show choir. She tries to help her students appreciate the choir as well. "They realize how lucky they are," she said. Swing Station's alumni joining the current members on stage have been sent one number to rehearse, which will be revealed during the show. They also plan to join in singing the traditional closing song, "Time Is My Friend." "The students are excited about the performance," Mulligan said. "They are now realizing what it is to be part of the tradition," she said. Since the group was created in 1977, it has been considered a trend-setting show choir. Although Mulligan is honored to be part of the Swing Sations, she said the residents of Mount Zion are a major contributor to its success. "The spring concert is a traditional event for the community," Mulligan said, "but this year is centered around the 40th anniversary show. Before Saturday's performance, all Swing Sations alumni have been invited to a reception to reminisce and view memorabilia of the group's storied past. We will have a basic museum set up," Richardson said. The picture caption is, "1985. The Mount Zion High School Swing Sations have continued winning tradition in show choir competition, collecting a series of grand champion honors plus best combo honors and best choreography honors. The next headline is Woman Arrested on Endangering Life of Child. The article is written by Huey Freeman of the Herald and Review. Decatur. A 24-year-old Decatur woman is being held in jail on $10,000 bond after she was arrested on charges of driving under the influence of a drug while transporting an infant and a toddler. She is being held on preliminary charges of endangering the life and health of a child, an aggravated DUI with no valid driver's license. Decatur Patrol Officer Austin Lewis wrote in a probable cause affidavit that he saw a silver Pontiac driving south from a convenience store on the 1800 block of North Main Street at about 9:45 p.m. Sunday, which failed to stop before crossing a sidewalk. While speaking with the driver during a traffic stop, I could smell a strong odor of burnt cannabis coming from the vehicle, Lewis wrote in his statement. Her eyes were bloodshot, and she showed signs of impairment during a field sobriety test. The driver said she smoked marijuana about 10 minutes before she was stopped. In response to a question, she said she did not think she should be driving, Lewis wrote in his statement. A one-year-old infant was lying sideways in a booster seat was not the correct size, not properly fastened into the back seat. A two-year-old child was not in a seat belt, car seat, or any form of safety device. The woman is due in court by Monday for her arraignment. The next headline is Jury Selected for Murphy Murder Trial. It's written by Huey Freeman. There's a picture labeled Murphy. Decatur. Jury selection was completed late Monday in the trial of Elliot T. Murphy, 23, who was facing four counts of first-degree murder and one of attempted first-degree murder. He allegedly punched and stomped two men in a mob attack by teens that took the life of 61-year-old Jerry Newingham and left 46-year-old Kevin S. Wilson disabled. Associate Macon County Judge Jeffrey Geisler and attorneys questioned 40 prospective jurors before deciding on the 8 men and 6 women who will serve at the trial, expected to last through Friday or possibly into next week. 12 of the jurors will serve as regulars with 2 alternates. The trial began 7 years and 8 months after the incident occurred on August 24, 2009, which resulted in lengthy sentences for Murphy and his half-brother, Deonta Johnson. 4 other teens were also sent to prison for terms ranging from 3 to 20 years after pleading guilty to charges including first-degree murder in connection with the incident. One of the questions the prospective jurors were asked by First Assistant State's Attorney Nicole Kronke, K-R-O-N-C-K-E, was whether the fact that the crimes were committed when Murphy was 16 years old would affect their verdict. In one panel of 14 prospective jurors, all of them said that that would not influence them. This will be the second trial for Murphy, who was convicted of the same charges in October 2011 and sentenced to 80 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. Murphy's conviction was overturned by a panel of the 4th District Illinois Appellate Court in October 2013 on the grounds that Murphy's attorney, an assistant public defender, had a conflict of interest. The court ruling pointed out that a witness who testified against Murphy had previously been represented by the same attorney in an unrelated case. Johnson, 21, was also convicted on both charges during the original trial in which they were tried together. He was sentenced to 65 years in prison. His conviction was also overturned on the grounds that the judge had transferred his case to adult court, did not consider alternate service and programs within the juvenile justice system. He will be tried separately. His trial date has not been determined. Murphy's trial will resume on today.